Welcome to Grace Community Church On Demand, the weekly podcast from the Sunday services at Grace Community Church in Rupert, Idaho. Here at Grace, we believe in building the kingdom of God one person at a time. We're passionate about loving God, loving people, and following Jesus. Let's get into this week's message.
So today we're going to continue our series of Jesus culture. We've been in it for quite a while. There's some music right there, huh?
We want to introduce Bo Stevenson with a little excitement this morning. Come on.
All right. Get to rocking a little bit in church, huh? But anyway, we're in Jesus culture, and today we're going to team preach once again. You know, we've done this before where two or three of us would get up here and give a message. And it seems like every time we do that, we get really good feedback and it really reaches a lot of people. And so this might be something that we do on a regular basis, for sure today, you know. So it'll be myself and Pastor Javi and Mr. Tyson Barks will be joining us up here. But we're in Jesus culture. And this whole series has been about applying what Jesus lived out into our lives, applying basically who Jesus was and taking that and putting that into our lives. And one thing that Jesus did really well was serving. He served God 100%, and he served people 100%. And so today we're going to talk about the different, you could say, aspects of serving. And one of those aspects is faith. You know, the word faith, we've heard this a thousand times. We see it everywhere. If you've grown up in church, it's talked about every day. It's in your Bible. People tattoo it on their body. You go to Hobby Lobby and buy the little blocks that say faith, hope, and love. Faith, we've heard it a thousand times. Have we ever thought to ask ourselves, what is faith really? How does it apply to me? You know, we know that it's believing in God, but what is faith? You know, Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Hello there. Faith. So faith is based, you know, is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It's the centerpiece of our relationship with God. It's the centerpiece of everything that we do in that relationship with God and everything we do in our church and our lives. Faith, it's the centerpiece. It's telling God, you know, we don't know what we're doing, why we're doing it, or how it's ever going to work out. But we trust you, God, and we're looking towards you. When it comes to serving God, faith is a requirement. Faith, or serving God, requires faith to walk in the calling that God has placed on you and I. You know, each of us have a calling, no matter what it is, whether it's your job, maybe you're a pastor, you're a teacher, you're a truck driver, you're a farmer, you're an accountant. We all have a calling by God, and it requires faith to walk in that calling, because you know what? In life, sometimes God's going to call us to do something radical that we're not comfortable with. Right. You know, and it might be a job. God might be telling you, listen, I want you to quit your job and go start a business. He might be telling you, I want you to close your business down and go get a job with somebody else. I want you to become a preacher. He might be telling you, I want you to go pray for your cashier at Walmart. It requires faith to do all these things, because without faith, you know what our body and our mind and our flesh and the enemy tells us? You can't do that. That ain't going to work out. You know, when God tells you, listen, your cashier, she's got cancer. She just got the news last week. Doctor said it's not going to go away. Doctor says it's not going to end well. I want you to go pray for that woman and tell her things are going to be good, because I'm going to heal her, but I'm going to use you to do it. Yeah. You know what? Your mind is going to be telling you, no, God, that's not possible. Cancer, doctors say cancer has no treatment. The doctor said, I'm not going to pray. I'll look foolish. It's crazy. Faith says you're going to do it, because with God, all things are possible. You know, one great example of faith is just me being up on the stage. If you've known me at all, I'm not really a talker. And I don't understand how I'm actually here and able to preach the word of God. The only way I can explain it is my faith through God. Because if you've, not to bash on myself, but if you talk to me for more than 5 minutes, you understand that sometimes I'm not a talker. And so public speaking is very difficult for me. But when I trust in God, it comes naturally. You know, this message didn't get put together until Friday night. because I was trying to, in my flesh, come up with a message for Sunday morning when I was supposed to be sitting down saying, God, you know, I trust you in faith. Don't know how you're going to do it, but you're going to do this. And that's the moment when we start going into prayer and we have faith in God, is when he starts revealing things and starts letting us walk into that calling and start serving him better and to do the things that we say is impossible, but he says, I can do it. You know, I don't really ever want to get to the end of my road and find out or realize that I didn't do the things that God called me to do. Right. If it's anything that we've learned in life, you know, it's that life is short. There's young people that are taken away too early. There's old people that have lived to 90, to 100, that realize on their last final breath, so much time has been wasted. So I don't want to go just because I'm scared to do something. I don't have faith to serve God, to get to that end of that road and not have done anything that he's called me to do. And so faith plays a big role in that. You know, I love our church because there's so many opportunities for you and I to serve. So many different things. Anything you can think of, any talent that you have, anything calling that God has placed on your heart, I guarantee you there's a need in the church or there's a spot that you'll fit in to serve. You know, there's the worship team. If you can sing, if you can play, join the worship team. Serve God by worship. If you're friendly, you love to make somebody's day by giving them a smile and a handshake and a hug, join our frontline team. You know, I've heard a lot of stories of people that have come to this church, this was their last resort, coming here and having somebody just give them a hug and a smile and realize that God does love them. And it changes their life. So if you can do that, join the frontline team. Serve that way. Take somebody groceries. If you know a family that needs some food, take them groceries. Help with the funerals. Preach. Teach the kids. Teach the youth. Teach the adults. Make some blessing blankets. Join the prayer team. So many ways to serve faithfully because everything requires faith. You know, the Bible says that it's impossible to please God without faith. But you know what? Faith isn't enough. Faith alone isn't enough. In James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, we read, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food, and if one of you says to them, 'Go in peace and keep warm and well fed,' but they don't do anything about their physical needs, what good is it? And in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." So in other words, you know what? Serving requires faith, and faith requires serving. I'll say that again. Serving requires faith, and faith requires serving. You know, sometimes the simple, "I'll be praying for you," isn't enough. How many of you are guilty? I do that all the time. "Oh, man, I'll be praying for you." And guess what? I don't pray with them in that very moment. I just live it because it's just what I struggle with. And so I'm preaching myself today. Sometimes an "I'll pray for you" is not enough. Sometimes an "I'll pray for you," but in the meantime, can I go help you get your medication? Can I take you groceries? Can I cook you dinner? Can I clean your house? "I'll be praying for you, but I'll watch your kids for a couple hours." Faith without action is dead, it says. You know, we're not saved by works at all. So works aren't going to save us. It's faith through Jesus Christ and him alone that we're saved. But yeah, a simple "I'll be praying for you" sometimes isn't enough. Sometimes you're the instrument that God's calling to answer their prayer. And so I encourage you guys today, you know what, look for ways to be more involved in the kingdom of God. You know, we live in a community that is almost exploding with the gospel. If you realize how many churches are doing great and how much the gospel is going out, not only in our community, but in this world, you know, and I want to be a part of it. So look for ways to serve God. Look for ways to serve in the church. Look for ways to serve your neighbor. You know, love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, we can serve God by serving the needs of others. For the frontline ministry, I've always said it was kind of our philosophy. The frontline ministry, we're serving God by serving the needs of others. And that's what we're called to do. You know, we need to listen to God. And that little voice that he has, there's always, all of us have that little discerning voice in us that's trying to urge us to do something. And sometimes it's really easy, if you're me, to quiet that voice down and go with about my plans. But we need to start listening to that voice, even though what God is telling us to do might be uncomfortable for us, we need to do it. Because I can tell you from experience, God usually doesn't call you to do something that you're comfortable with. Most of the things they'll call you to do, you're going to be really uncomfortable. I remember my first time ever come up on stage to preach. I was so nervous. It was out of my comfort zone. But the moment I did that, I realized, listen, God, this is definitely from you. You know, every year, about this time of year, we do our farm budget. And I can tell you what, I'm never comfortable with that farm budget. But at the end of the year, God always provides somehow. Amen. Right? And we all have that situation. We have to listen to God and be faithful and realize that when he tells us he's going to do something, he's already given us all the provisions and the supplies that we need to do that. He's equipped you in your mother's womb with everything that you need to fulfill his calling on your life. That's the amazing part about God. The attention to detail. He's not going to call you to do something that you can't do. Well, maybe he will. Might be just to test you and to build your faith. You know, the Bible is packed with ordinary people called by God to do extraordinary things to serve him. You know, there was Moses, Noah, Gideon. Gideon is my favorite guy. You know, he was just a little old farm boy out thrashing wheat. Their whole nation was under siege. And he's trying to get some wheat to feed his family, hiding away from the army. And God tells him, listen, mighty warrior, God's with you. You're going to take on 150,000 men with the 300 men you got. Okay, God, where's our weapons? Oh, no, you got clay pots and trumpets and torches. You'll handle it, right? What? Like, God had, Gideon had faith to step into what God was calling him to do. And guess what? They won. In Acts 9, chapter 10 through 19, we read about a guy named Ananias. Now, it says Ananias was a disciple in Damascus, and the Lord called him in a vision. He said, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, he answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim the name to the Gentiles and their kings to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. And then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me that you may see again and be filled by the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength, and he spent several days in Damascus with the disciples. So, you know, the Lord, we all know that the Lord could have very easily done all of this by himself, right? He didn't need Ananias. But God knows something that we need to know, and that is that serving him builds our faith. When we do something that he calls us to do, it's going to build our faith. Because you can't tell me that Ananias' faith wasn't made stronger when he saw those scales come off of Saul's faith. You know, eyes. Because if you know anything about Saul, he was Paul before Paul's name was changed. But he was a Christian killer. I compare him to our modern day ISIS. He was going into homes, ripping people out of their homes, killing them, torturing them, persecuting them. And so for God to tell Ananias, listen, go into that guy's house and pray for him, lay your hands on him and love on him and pray for him because he's going to be healed and I'm going to use you. You can imagine he's like, oh, what? Wait, what? That? No, I'm not going. No, the guy that's killing everybody that come here to kill me in your name? No, I don't think so. But he had faith. His faith was built because he listened to God. And when we listen to God and those things come to pass, our faith is made stronger because we know that that voice was God and we know that we can do all things through him. Now, you know, you guys understand what I'm saying? And so when we walk in obedience, we learn to trust him more. And, you know, and when we start trusting him more, we begin to become aware of his voice, we start looking for more opportunities to serve him. We start listening to that voice a little bit stronger. And pretty soon, God has taken us to places we've never known we can go. And we become an instrument for his glory and for his use. And he begins to use us to spread the gospel. A lot of us sitting here, maybe God's been using you, and you still, the enemy's fighting you, telling you, listen, you can't do that. Remember what you did in 1995? Remember what you did last week? You're not capable of doing this, but God's saying, listen, I've called you. Now step into this calling and trust me because I'm going to use you. There was a lot of unqualified people in the Bible that were used by God to change the world. And there's a lot of unqualified people in this room that God's going to use to change the world. Because all things are made new through Christ. Your tomorrows don't matter. Your yesterdays don't matter. Your tomorrow's coming up and it's brand new. You know, there's a song that talks about that day at Calvary. That day at Calvary changed my history. That moment you give your life to Christ, that's the beginning of your new life. Nothing in the matter, nothing before Christ, nothing, I say BC, matters when Christ comes into your life, because guess what? Your life is made new. So I encourage you guys, again, look for ways to serve in the church. Look for ways to serve him and to listen to that voice and to take a step of faith. When you know that God's calling you to do something, don't let that fear overwhelm you, because the Bible says God didn't give us a spirit of fear. So trust him, have faith, because your faith will be built and you're going to do great things for the kingdom of God. And with that, I want to go ahead and invite up Mr. Tyson Barks, if he'll come up here. Thank you, guys.
My name's Tyson Barks, and I'm honored to be here. And thank you, Bo, and thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to be here. First of all, I want to go on a part of my testimony of how I'm going from atheist to come up here and worshiping and praising God. I'll tell you a little bit about my life. I watched my sister pass away, my stepmom pass away. And I was mad at God. If there was a God, I was mad. Because I went all the way through sixth grade getting beat up. I was in resource classes because I couldn't read. And so I thought, I went to a little church and some bad things happened to me in that church. So I thought, there's no God. So I got a job. I got married. I'm thinking, this is life. Thinking, I don't need God. There is no God. And I found myself in a divorce. And I was taking steroids at the gym. I was going home. I was going to the gym, benching 400 pounds, 500 pounds at the gym, going home and crying. Because I was a whitewashed tomb. I was trying to impress people, but I was broken on the inside. I bought a $65,000 truck without telling my wife at the time, trying to impress people that I could make the payment on. So one day at the gym, my buddy, he's all, "You ever thought about giving your life to Christ?" I'm like, "No, absolutely not." And he's like, "You should try it." He's like, "You ever heard the sinner's prayer?" And I said, "No, what is it?" So he actually had a copy of it. He's like, "Go home and say this prayer." So I did. I got nothing to lose. My life's horrible. So I got on my knees and I said the prayer. I didn't feel no change. Nothing happened in my life. And I wasn't a very good person. So the next day, I always go to the gas station and get a drink of water for my pre-workout. And the lady said the Lord's name in vain, which I've said millions of times. And when she said it, I yelled at her. I said, "Why did you say that?" She said, "I'll say what?" "Oh, why did you say Jesus Christ?" Sorry, it's emotional for what he did for me. So I go out in my truck. I go out to my truck. And I said, "Why is it the name I've said so many times? Why did it hurt me?" And God told me, I heard his voice. Saying, "I live in you now. I didn't have any money, but I went and bought a Bible that day. Don't get me wrong, I can't read. You know, I went to resource classes till I was 12th grade. Couldn't read. So I didn't know what a Bible was going to do me, but I knew I had to go do it. And it's funny, the next day, my dad is yelling at my sister-in-law. And they call the cops on each other. That's that bad. And So as he's sitting there texting, my dad texts all the time, drives me nuts. And he's all, "I could hear that. I could hear that voice again that told me that I'm with you now." So he said, "Go get your Bible and read it out loud to your dad." Which was very hard for me because I never opened a book in my life. Then he wants me to read it out loud to my dad. And my dad don't cry. I've seen my dad cry twice. And that's the two deaths, his daughter and his wife. And so I get the Bible out. I open it up, this Bible. I open it up to Exodus. I didn't even know what Exodus was at the time. And I start reading it. And it was at chapter 3, and I just start reading it to my dad. And the whole time I'm reading it, my dad's texting. And it's really frustrating for me. So I keep reading. I hear that voice again. You're doing fine. Just keep reading. And my dad's one of the toughest men I know. He don't cry. And as soon as I got to Exodus 3:14, where God told Moses, I am who I am, I watched the strongest man I know. He fell to his knees, started crying. I said, what's wrong, Dad? He said, what? He said, what did God call himself? I says, I don't know. I am who I am. I have no idea what that means. I know God called himself. That's who he was. My dad flips his phone around and says, for 2 weeks, I've been texting the word I am. And I don't know who it was until now. So the same God that was talking to Moses was in my living room. So Mike, this is crazy. God is so real. Like, he really does care about me. And that all the awful things I'd done. And I didn't know why I couldn't read for so long, but then I knew. It was to that point where I could read that Bible. I was reading that Bible like it was nothing. And the Bible's not easy to read. And So the next day, I buy my dad a Bible. I'm thinking, this is cool. And so for a week, I had this joke I was telling everybody about Noah. Stupid little joke. I thought it was stupid, but it was funny. And so a week later, I put three crosses on the back of my truck. One said Jesus on them. I took away the old stuff that had on there, just garbage. Like Monster Energy drink and just stupid things. Like I was a player. But and so I know I didn't even realize that I was being changed at the moment. I didn't even realize that. So I heard that voice saying, you need to go to Boise and pray for your sister. And my sister's an alcoholic. I mean, and so I'm like, okay. So we get in my truck and we go to, I hit Matt home and I was going to the gas station to get a drink. And I go to pull up to the pump because it's close to the gas station. God's all, don't pull there. I'm like, whatever. So I go to pull up by the pump. He's all, don't pull there either. I want you to pull way down that parking lot where there's nobody there. I mean, this is like a football field. There's nobody around me. So God asked me to do some crazy things, so whatever. And this is only a week of knowing God. And so I turn around, I lock my truck, and there's this old man standing 3 feet next to me with these holy clothes, just like raggedy clothes. And he's like, I like those decals in the back of your truck. And I heard that voice again say, now you know my son. I'm like, wow. I'm like, how do I tell this person that God bless him when I'm talking? I feel like God's here. So I said anyways, I'm like, God bless you, sir. And he's walking away and he gets a big smile on his face and he turns around. He said, do you want to hear a story? Do you want to hear a joke about Noah? I'm like, wow, God's showing off. And so he told me the joke. He's all, what did Noah tell the boys about using the fishing bait? I'm like, I don't know. He's all, you got two worms. And then he tells me with a big grin on his face, he's all, God told me to tell you the joke you're telling about Noah is very funny. I'm like, man, that's a stupid joke. But I was before then I was using women. I was partying. It's crazy what God did to my life. So I know there's a lot of people that lost people that's mad at God. But in 3 years, I've known God. He's shown me things that you can explain. Like, for instance, I used to always have these missionaries come over to my house from a different religion. And I was so mad at them. I wanted to prove them what I knew about God. But it was so cool because they knew some stuff about God, and it pushed me to know more about the Bible. And one day I was at work, and they have this magazine I didn't know nothing about. This magazine this church produces, and it had one scripture in it. And so these two boys come to my house, and at work that day, I seen a white eagle fly over my head with black tips on his fingers. And I just knew that was from God. I mean, who sees a white eagle? And it was looking right at me, like 10 feet away. And so I get home and I tell these missionaries, I'm like, you're not going to believe this, but I just seen this white eagle today. And I watch those two boys fall on their knees, start crying. I'm like, this is weird. What are you guys crying for? And they're like, are you sure you never heard this book, this magazine we put out once a month? No, I never have. And they open it up with a picture of a white eagle on it, black tips, with Isaiah on it, with that scripture Isaiah. And I'm like, they start crying. And then they start like, wow, God really loves you. I'm like, I'm not for sure why, but he does. I mean, I've yelled at him a lot. But anyways, that's why I'm so hungry for God. And I want to share his word and how good he is. I know there's a lot of bad things that happen, but he allows those bad things to make you stronger. If it wasn't for the darkest times of my life, I wouldn't have the strength that would be to have here today. I know when I came to God, I was still doing steroids. I was injecting myself twice a week. And 6 months into knowing God, I was injecting myself, and he said, this is going to be the last time. I'm like, whatever. I like the high it gives me. I like to go to the gym and have people watch me, you know, show off. And I go to put that needle in, and the needle bent. And so I'm like, wow. But every morning I say that that morning I started saying that I put the armor of God on me. And God, so that's the armor of God protecting you from that poison. So, but anyways, my message today is about worship and how powerful it is. Because when I first walked into a Christian church, I seen these people with their hands in the air. And out loud I said, because I was real cocky, out loud I said, these people are crazy. And as soon as I walk in the door, the greeter is the pastor at the time. I didn't know who he was. And he shakes my hand. He's like, I'm Pastor Tim. What's your name? I'm Walt Tyson. And he grabs me real close. He said, these people are crazy, huh? So they're crazy about their God. Amen. And so 6 months goes on. The pastor's all, you need to come up and set up the front. Well, no, I'm not setting up the front. These people are crazy. I told you. And so I always sit in the back with my friends, and so people can't see them on my phone. And so I'm walking to church with me and my son, and my son pulls on my arm. He's all, Dad, well, what's up, buddy? He's like, let's go sit in the front today. Oh, that's weird. So I did, whatever. And everything I prayed about that night before, a guy came up in my ear and whispered to my ear. He's like, God told me to tell you this. So ever since then, I'm in front of church with my hands in my ear. Call me crazy, but I'm crazy about my God. Amen. And so before that, I could go to Buffalo Wild Wings and watch my Kansas City Chiefs play. And I didn't care who was watching. I'd be like, if my Chiefs got a touchdown, I was like, yeah, you know, who cares? But when I come to church, I thought, why do I think these people are crazy? Why do I, every time I go to raise my hand, people think, I hear this voice in my head, you're going to look like a fool. Well, when I was reading the Bible, I read the scripture, John 4:23, where God seeks worship. And so when I come to church, and the first time I raised my hands, I felt bondages break. I heard chains break. I mean, I was addicted to a lot of things. And that day I raised my hand, I was broken for all of them. And so I know there's many different ways of worship, but why is it when you come to church and when you're worshiping in God's house, why is it so hard for some people to raise their hand? Because of the fear. It's that same voice that told Adam and Eve they were naked. It's the same voice telling you that you're going to look like a fool for raising your hands for God. And I know it's tough, but if you love God so much, you don't care. If you put your whole heart into what God has, you don't care. And I promise you, if you raise your hands in worship, your life's going to change. And I'm just very grateful for what God has. And the reason why you hear that voice where people are going to think you look like a fool is because the devil knows what's behind worship. He tried to exalt himself above God to get people to worship him. He even tried to get Jesus to worship him. So what is it that's so powerful the devil knows what's behind worship? What is it so powerful that he puts that little voice in your head? You're going to look like a fool. You know what? So be it. And I promise, the next time you worship, if it's in the shower or whatever, that's where I started, was in the shower. Just put my hands in the air for God. Yeah. And so I'm just saying this. Some people in here know me, who I was before. I'm not saying I was a good person. I'm not saying I was a bad person. But going from putting all these stickers on the back of my truck to doing steroids to trying to get attention to trying to impress people with things I couldn't even afford, from going from being dead broke, from tithing, to now I could go buy any truck I wanted, but I don't care about the truck. I care to tell people about God, what he can give you that you can't buy.
Right.
So, I mean, I've experienced so many miracles and seen so many things in my life. From going to a restaurant, I was so broke, I had to have my pastor drive 35 miles to my house because I didn't have gas money to put in my truck. And I had $10 in my wallet. That's all I had for a week. And we go to this restaurant, we eat, and God's telling me, this waitress, she looks really happy, but she's hurting. You need to go tell her that I love her and I heard her pray last night and give her the 10 bucks in your wallet. I'm like, what's the only 10 bucks I got, God? I got to buy ramen noodles, I got to buy a pepperoni pizza at Little Caesars. And so, but whatever, I did it. You know, I trust God. And that's how he started teaching me to trust him, was by faith, by doing the little things. And so my pastor went to his car, and I give that lady 10 bucks. And I said, I just want you to know, God really loves you, and he heard you pray last night. Then I watched her fall on her knees, and I had to pick her back up crying. I said, what's wrong? She's like, I prayed for the first time last night to God. I didn't have enough gas money to put in my car to get home from work today. And she started crying. I'm like, and the next day, a guy comes to my house and says, I don't know who you are, but God told me to give you $500. And it's funny is, at my job, I worked there for 10 years, never got a penny raised, nothing. I did get a sweater. So I was sitting in my truck crying. This is about a year and a half after I know God, and I'm just like yelling at him. Like, why am I so broke? Well, I don't have enough gas money to put in my truck, but I praise your name, I pray for people, I'm doing everything you wanted. And you know what he told me? He's all, Tyson, you're greedy. I'm like, ouch. He knows the one word to tell you to humble you up. And I was like, okay, you tell me how I'm greedy. I'm arrogant. And he says, you believe everything in that Bible? I said, yep. He's like, I'm showing you everything that you've read in that Bible to be true. I said, yeah. He said, what about Malachi 3:10? What about tithing? I'm like, he said, that's why you're so broke, because you're greedy. You keep all that money. So I'm like, you know what? You're not going to call me arrogant again. I'm going to start tithing. And at that moment, I just remember talking to him. I said, I don't know if this occurred to you, God, but this is not the right time for me to be tithing. I just told you I'm broke. And if you ever heard God laugh, it's the most funniest, it's the most warming, peaceful thing. And he's laughing at me. He's all, Tyson, nothing has ever occurred to me. I know everything all at once, all the time. And I was $238,000 in debt a year and a half ago. I come up to you almost debt-free today because 5 months of tithing, of crying, when I put in my 10%, the boss that never gave me a penny raise tripled my pay. I can't even explain the ways he's blessed me. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, the first 3 months I was reminding him, hey, you said you would open up the heavens for me. I don't see nothing yet. But I quit asking. I quit reminding him. And sure enough, I'm debt free. I don't need a truck to try to impress people. I don't have to go to the gym to bench 400 pounds to get attention. The only thing I want to do is decrease so God can increase. But my time's almost up, but I would just like to thank the pastors and the sacrifice they put into this church. Like, I know maybe 15 names of this, all these people. So, and I know these pastors know almost every name in here, and all the calls they have to go do, and everything they have to go do is a lot of sacrifice for you guys. And so I'd like to thank Pastor Javi and Pastor Travis, and most of all, thank God, because he turned this mess into a messenger, this fool into a tool, you know? When you go through troubled times, it's just preparing you for something better. I mean, I promise. Now I go through the things that I used to go through. Like, kidding me? I watch people lose somebody, you know? Now I know what it's like to lose somebody. My sister, my mom. Watch them take their last breaths. Well, I want to thank you for allowing me to be here. And please welcome Pastor Javi. Thank you.
That's funny. At least it wasn't La Bamba. I was really scared when I was hearing everybody's songs. man, did he do an awesome job or what? Tyson, thank you so much for your testimony. It's crazy when we sit down in the middle of the week and try to think about what God wants us to do on a Sunday morning. And, you know, we sat there and we talked for about an hour or so about what we wanted to speak on. And it never fails that you come up here on a Sunday morning and you get three different people working on three different messages in three different homes. And they all just fall together, and God is so good. And you know what's crazy is I want to speak today about, we've been talking about faith and servanthood and worship. And, you know, the Bible talks about giving our first fruits, giving of our first fruits. And today I'm going to talk a little bit about serving. And you know what, I remember, not too long ago, when I was sitting in Tyson's place, I remember I grew up and ran away from God for a very long time. I remember having a saying, and I'm not proud of this saying, but I remember having a saying when I was growing up saying, you know what, me and God have an understanding. He doesn't come to my house, I don't go to his. And it was a horrible thing to say. But the greatest thing is I remember being in your place and being so excited because God took a mess and created a messenger. I remember being so excited about wanting to save everybody. I remember going into a dealer's house and wanting to change everybody in a dealer's house because I was so passionate about who God was. And I stand up here and I'm, you know, today, you guys can excuse me, but I'm going to preach to myself if that's okay. And you guys can listen in if you want to. But we started this prayer and fasting 21 days ago, like Eddie was saying. And it was like the first couple of days I found myself sitting right up there in the corner, in a dark corner where nobody can see me, because I wanted God to hear me. I didn't want the distractions of the worship. I didn't want the distractions of everybody else. I wanted just me and God time. And I found myself complaining the first day, measuring the second day. But God, you know, look, everything that I do, right? I am a blessed man sitting up here because of where I came from. I'm a blessed man. I get to do what I do. I have a dream job. I get to bless people. I get calls at 11 o'clock at night because somebody is in trouble and God is going to use me to bring hope to these people. I get to do that. Me, short little fat guy. You know, years ago I had no hope. And I find myself at the beginning of the year complaining to God. Why is this going this way? How come they don't have to do as much? How come I have to do everything? And I want you, I'm not sitting up here. I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I don't do more than anybody else in this place. Okay, this isn't a pity party for Javier. I do my share, but so does everybody else. I sat before service talking to somebody about everything that God is doing in here and everywhere, where if it wasn't for everybody in this church, every single person, we wouldn't be able to accomplish anything, because it's not about me. It's not about Pastor Travis. I know he's watching, and I mean that with all respect. It's about God. But I find myself complaining the first 2 days of prayer and measuring and reminding him of how long I've been doing this, right? And my sacrifice and everything that I'm doing. And Eddie gets up to closing prayer one day, and I'm sitting right up there, and I'm already done with prayer because it's been an hour. And Eddie gets up and says, you know, Cain and Abel, they went up to give a sacrifice. Remember that, Eddie? He said, you know, God rejected Cain's sacrifice, but he accepted Abel's. And I sat there because I've been comparing myself, comparing what I do. I sat there and I said, oh, God, has my sacrifice been for nothing? Have I been serving you with no heart? See, because I found myself in your place a long time ago. But if we're not careful, the Bible says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And what I figure out, he doesn't have to kill you. I was the same day, the same morning, I was watching Pastor Travis, and he's got his, you know, robo arm now. And I'm watching him, and I'm saying, you know, I laugh. I'm like, man, this guy's crippled. You know, I had to do his belt for him one day. You know, it's a very humbling experience. I figure if I didn't tell you guys, he's gonna tell you guys. So might as well beat him to the punch. But I saw him, and I'm sitting there. This is a guy that's passionate about passion. I've never seen somebody more passionate than Pastor T. You tell this guy he can't do something, he'll have it done in a week. Yeah. Right? Yeah. But I see him, and I see his frustration, and I see his, you know, he's coming in here and he's wanting to do things, and he can't do things. And I got this vision. I mean, like, the enemy, he doesn't have to kill you. He just has to, you know, wound you a little bit. Right? He doesn't have to. If he can wound you, if he can just cripple you, so you can stop, so you can break your focus off what God has intended for you. Right? He doesn't have to kill you. He just has to get your focus off of God. Right? If he can get your focus off of God, all of a sudden, guess what? He stole your dreams. All of a sudden, you're not passionate about God anymore. Tyson, I'm talking to you, man. You know? Keep your focus on God. Every single person in here. See, the reason we're not here to speak about servanthood so that because we need people to serve. We're here speaking about servanthood so you can refocus yourself on who God has called you to be. A lot of us, if we're not careful, there's people that walk into this church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday because you've been hurt by somebody, right? And you're no longer serving in that department because that person hurt me. Is it okay to say that? I mean, they spoke pretty messages. I'm going to speak a hard one, if that's okay. There's people in this place that because of somebody did something in the church, now all of a sudden you find yourself taking yourself out of something God put you into. And if you're not focused, see, the Bible says in Philippians 4:8-9 says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix your thoughts on what's true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. Paul is talking to the Philippian church, telling them, listen, this is what you got to do. You got to partner up with the way that God thinks about you. You got to have this godly thoughts all the time. He says, practice this, do these every single day. The reason why Pastor Travis got put in his heart to do a 21-day and fast so that he can kick some people in the butt so that they can start focusing on God every single morning the rest of 2018 and the rest of their lives. So that we don't have to go into 2019 going, okay, we're going to do 31 days of prayer because they didn't get it last year. I don't want to do 31 days of prayer. No, I'm kidding. I kid. Paul is reminding us, he's saying, listen, if you don't protect your mind, because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, the only power he's got is to get into our minds. That's it. And if you're not focused on the things of God, you begin to focus on the things of this world. See, what happened to me is I'm coming in and I'm talking to me. That's it. I have to talk to me because I'm the only one that listens to me. But if I'm not careful, if I'm not waking up in the morning, I wake up in the morning and I got to take my wife to work and I got to come here. And then I get here and there's things to do. And I've been working on the same project for a year and I'm frustrated because I'm kind of like Travis that way. If I don't see things done, I get frustrated. I'm already thinking of the next project. I'm already thinking of what I got to do next. And I've been in this for almost a year and I'm frustrated. I want to get it done so we can move on to the things of God. Right? But I find myself getting here early in the morning, and sometimes I don't even pray. Me, your pastor, right? I'm the only one, just me, you know? And then I get myself going through the day, and by noon I'm frustrated because you know what? It's like, man, you know, it's like, I gotta do this, and then all of a sudden something else comes up, and it's, Javi, can you do this? I'm like, yes, and Javi, can you do that? Oh, yeah, I could do that, and I'm the yes man, but you know what? All of a sudden the enemy gets into my head, and pretty soon I'm doing a bunch of stuff, but my heart's nowhere in it, and it's getting done, but the enemy's winning. And it's getting done, but the enemy's winning. So I find myself on the third day of prayer asking myself, Lord, am I Cain? Am I doing everything? But I'm doing it for the wrong reasons. This is what I can tell you. All my life, I've been a servant. I remember being young and mowing lawns for my neighbors because they were old. I didn't know God. But I just knew, man, they're old, they need help. I remember moving into a house in Caldwell. My neighbors were LDS, and they were the most wonderful people I ever met, and they had a ton of kids, and the husband worked in New Orleans, but they lived here. And he was gone 3 weeks out of the month, and his wife was pregnant out to here, and one day I saw her, and she's out there pushing a lawnmower. And I went up there and I said, no more, I'm going to mow your lawn. Every single week when I mow my lawn, I'm going to mow your lawn. I've always been a servant, even when I didn't know God. That's who God created in me to be. God says he gives everybody talents, right? Everybody's built differently. So the same talent that he gave me, listen, I get to do this. I'm more blessed than most people I know. I get to live a dream and do this. But if I'm not careful and I don't do what Paul says, and I'm not fixing my thoughts on God, if I'm not fixing my thoughts on everything that is of him, see, what I know is that bitterness and faith are both products of focus. Right? Bitterness, I'm telling you, if you focus on negative things, you'll become bitter. You won't miss it. Promise you that. Faith, everything these two young men were talking about, if you fix your focus on God, your faith will grow. Why? Because he'll remind you every single time. There's days when I, you know, I sit there and feel sorry about myself, and I talk to God, and he reminds me. And he reminds me of all the blessings I have. He reminds me of where my relationship is with my wife. He reminds me of where my kids are. Because at one time, I tried to throw everything away. At one time, I could care less about my wife. I could care less about my kids. Wanted nothing to do with them. And he reminds me of his grace because I focused on him. Because I serve him with a faithful heart. Listen, there's people in here that you have a servant's heart, but you allow the actions of somebody else to dictate how big of a servant you're going to be, how big of a Christian you're going to be. And I'm challenging you this morning, focus on God. Take your focus off the negative things. I'm telling you, if you focus on the negative things will happen. I'll give you an example. Beginning of the Bible. In the Garden of Eden, God told Adam that he can eat out of any tree in the garden. Right? You can have any tree in the garden. Except one, right? I'm just going to throw it out. I think if Adam and Eve were to focus on everything they had and everything they could eat rather than what they couldn't eat, if we'd probably have a different life right now. Right? My challenge for you guys this morning is this. What are you focused on? Because if you're not focused on the things of God, your excitement will go. Your passion will go. Because the enemy comes to steal. He'll steal your hope. He'll steal your excitement about the things of God. He'll steal your passion, your purpose, your desire, your drive. He'll steal your worship, your faith. But if you focus and you fix your eyes on the things of God, listen, 2 Corinthians 10:3, and I'm closing, Matthew, if you're around. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says this, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. That's it. Faith is what? How do we get our faith to where it's supposed to be? It's just keep our eyes fixed on God. You have a choice. You got two choices today. You can walk out of this room and focus on all the negative things of this world, and there's some. Or you can say, you know what, I'm just going to focus on the things. You know, the Bible says in this world you will have trouble. You can focus on the trouble. God knows about it. He's not caught by accident or surprised. He tells us in this world we will have trouble. But if you keep your eyes focused on who He is and His promises and His grace, He gives us the weapons, heavenly weapons, to fight everything that tries to destroy, everything that the enemy tries to steal. So you have two choices. You can focus on the things of this world, or you can focus on heavenly places.
That's it for today's teaching. Hey, here's an idea. Share today's message with a friend or family member. If you're listening from outside our fellowship, we'd love to meet you. Visit graceid.org and hit the contact form to get in touch. We'd also love for you to join us. Services are Sundays at 8:45 and 11 a.m., as well as our Wednesday evening service at 6:30 p.m. You can even check us out on Facebook Live by searching Facebook for Grace Church Rupert ID. Learn more and plug in at graceid.org. Thanks for listening to this week's message from Grace Community Church.